Hey, lover boy. Meet me alone if you ever want to see your friend.
Who is it? Rory?
No.
Chris?
No.
Carmen?
No.
John?
No, it's EJ!
Tell her to go to hell, Ross!
Well, I'm kind of busy, man. I'll talk to you later.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to River Dudes. I am your host, EJ Leeson. And with me today is my co-host, my bud, my friend, Ross Jones. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? How you?
What's up, Airhorn? How you
I'm
doing?
Doing good. Doing really good.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
Feeling all right?
I can't wait to talk about this episode.
This is
one of my favorites of season two.
Yo, me too. I would say this is... I always say, oh, this is my top five. This is definitely in my top five.
This one I slept on. Like earlier,
you fell asleep during this episode.
That's good, man.
I don't know if you like this episode.
No, I slept on this episode. I didn't know if I liked it that much, but then I watched it again, and I'm like, wow, this is like one of the best of the season.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is. And without further ado, let me introduce. We have two special guests today. First, you just heard him. This beautiful man right here, Jon Snow. What's up, dog?
I'm doing all right. Looking to discuss some Riverdale here. Second time back.
Yes, I know. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have you back.
Glad Seriously. To be here.
Yeah, you're hilarious, and I love having you on. And when I got the message that you wanted to do this episode, I was like, hell yes, like, I'm ready. Like, if he's down, I'm down.
Let's do it. Downtown Julie Brown, baby. Come on, let's do it.
Downtown Julie Brown.
We're down.
And then... Without any further or ado, I don't know what I'm saying. But anyways, guys, L. Snow is here. What's up, bud?
Not much.
How's it going?
That was quite an intro. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
For a while, I thought you were just going to keep talking to John, and I'd be like, I'm you too. we were just
going to go right into the episode, skip you completely, and be like, oh, well, next time.
She has all the notes. She needs to talk.
She has all the notes.
I don't take notes.
Welcome back to the show. I'm so happy to have you. Back again. And like you guys, I had such a blast last time you guys were here. And I'm so happy to have you guys back. I think it's great.
Aw, thanks.
You're welcome, guys. So guys, tonight we are talking about Judgment Night, Chapter 34, which actually shares the title with the 1993 film. Have you guys ever seen Judgment Night?
I have not.
Nope.
No. Oh, my gosh.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. I'm the only one?
Every time you ask, have you seen the original movie? I'm like, no.
So this episode was directed by Sherry Nolan, who did episodes of Suits, 90210, Grey's Anatomy.
I'm a big 90210 fan.
Like, she did the remake. Did you watch,
no, not the remake. I like the original.
Like, with Luke Perry, right?
Yes.
Samesies.
Crossover.
Yeah. 90210, dudes.
That might happen one day. Don't rule it out.
That'd be your 47th podcast.
Yeah. This episode was written by Shepard Boucher, I believe. He has done episodes of Angie Tribeca, and he actually did the episode Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, yeah.
Like episode 9.
Yeah.
Which is like one of my favorite episodes, too. So he wrote like two of the best episodes of this season.
Yeah, I don't remember so his name being mentioned, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the one where she goes downstairs and she sees like the black hood and the Santa outfit.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Okay.
Yeah.
Great episode. I love it. So, what'd you guys think of this episode? Off the bat, what'd you guys think? What'd you guys think, huh?
It has moments. It has some moments where there's a lot of emotion and it's really well acted.
Right.
But then there are moments where they get a little silly. It's silly sometimes. Like,
yeah.
But overall, I really enjoy this episode and it builds to a nice climax.
The best episodes of Riverdale have the really good character-driven moments.
Right.
The worst episodes of Riverdale are just like scene, 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 scene. I think this is somewhere in the middle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Fair to say.
That's fair.
It's like, my favorite stuff is like, when the characters that don't get the shine, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if it's, like, Kevin-centric, I'm bored.
Or Josie.
Well, no. Kevin's always good.
Kevin's always awesome.
There's the characters that I love and hate simultaneously.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
Right.
She's either really good or really bad. Alice.
Oh.
Really good or
yeah.
Not an actual person. So it's like, I feel there are like moments in this episode that have the best and the worst of the series.
Right.
It's kind of a mixed bag for me personally.
Yeah, because Cheryl has some like good moments in this, but then I think Alice
kind of
has
ridiculous moments. We'll get to that.
Right. Oh, yeah. But, and then Alice has one particular moment in this that I'm like, yeah, all right. I'm cool. I'm down with that. But, yeah, so this episode starts with Cheryl facing off with the Black Hood. So she runs upstairs into her room, and then she jumps out the window. We don't see it. And then the Black Hood, like, chases. He chops down the door. And then he goes down, and he goes outside, and that's when Cheryl warns him to take a chill pill. He doesn't. And so she shoots him with an arrow.
Yeah, I got a note for this.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just like, why does the Black Hood think he can go toe-to-toe with Cheryl with a bow and arrow? He thinks he's going to kill her, but like...
Next week on the CW, the crossover episode you've been waiting for. Steve Queen and Cheryl, an arrow meets Riverdale.
And I'm in. I'm all in. I loved when she's like, you have filled the city.
It's just a fun dynamic where she's like first running away in horror movie fashion.
Right. She like screams. She's like, and then you're like, oh, she's like really terrified.
While he's chopping down the door like Jack Torrance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, she thinks if she locks the
along
door, he's not going to come in.
Right.
But
the horror movie slant, because this was like the opening scene was definitely shot like a horror movie.
Right.
The music, definitely a ripoff of the original Nightmare on Elm Street theme.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 4 out of 5 notes.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like, oh, so it's like a subtle callback.
Yeah.
But they didn't need to, you know, get sued.
Yeah, they're like...
Yeah, copyright issues.
Right, it's like Vanilla Ice when he was, like, trying to explain.
It's not,
yeah.
Doom, 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 doom.
It's dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's
it's that little
that hi-hat hit.
That's the only difference.
Yeah,
yeah. That's it.
But the
it's
shot
totally
of,
different.
The shot of Cheryl facing off with Black Hood at the end of that, like
yeah.
before she shoots, was to me, I'm thinking Red Riding Hood shoots the woodsman.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the visual image.
That was right. Probably on purpose too. You know, I mean.
Yeah, that's actually pretty. Yeah, I like that. So then the next scene we see is the serpent rush Fangs, who was recently shot, to the hospital. Jughead demands immediate attention. Dr. Masters shows up, and some sailor grabs a gurney. I don't know if you guys noticed, the guy that gets a gurney is wearing a little captain's, like, little sailor hat.
No, I missed that.
I completely missed that.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to take a picture of it. I'll send it to you guys later.
All right.
Actually, I love FP in the scene.
Yes.
I love FP in all of the scenes of this episode, so
yeah,
I'm going to talk
too.
About him a lot.
Me too.
Yeah.
But when he talks to Jug about being a leader, I love that moment between the two of them. And he spent so much of the first season like worried about whether or not he was a good dad. And even though he helped hide a body,
right.
I feel like he still cares. And this is one of those moments where he's trying to be a good like figure.
Right.
Like someone to look up to, someone to give advice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think... this whole season, we see a different side of FP, and it is more the fatherly side, protecting his son from who he was, and he doesn't want him to take that path. Because earlier on in this season, they have that moment when he first gets out of jail, they ride their bikes, and he's like, I want you to still go to school, you're
yeah.
one hell of a writer,
yeah,
and I want you
to
do this.
Yeah.
And so we see him trying to get Jughead, like... a little bit out of that life, but then I don't know. Yeah, but you're right though. He's such a great this episode in particular. FP rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he's so good. So then, meanwhile, we see Betty. She's waiting for the Black Hood. She has all her memorabilia there, and then she actually gets a call from Cheryl.
Yeah.
Who tells her they were like face to face, and she actually wounded the Black Hood and shot him in the shoulder with an arrow, and that she is following him into the woods. Great, that's what Cheryl does.
Next week on the CW. Cheryl,
Betty asks, "Was it my dad?" And Cheryl said, "Judging by the waistline."
Right.
How is that a way of determining who somebody is? Why does Cheryl know Hal's
Cheryl's waistline? Mom would know.
Yeah, there you go. She was probably, she probably walked in on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Hal
so Cooper. Pasty!
No, and Hal had all the toiletries in there, too, because that's all he cares about.
Where are my toiletries? I have to wrap them around my waistline.
That's a callback, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Alice tells Betty to get to the register because the riots are going nuts. Yeah. And she's like, is Dad there? She's like, oh, no, he's out there covering the riots, you know, because he writes for the paper. So yeah, he wants to be hands-on register. With that.
Yeah.
So then we get where Fred...
Definitely hands-on with the riots.
Right. Definitely.
Spoilers.
So then we get where Fred asks Veronica where Archie is. Like, he goes in Archie's room, and she's like, hey... And then
it's only
like,
me, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Let's pause for this scene.
Right.
He's looking for Archie, opens the door to Archie's room, and Veronica's there.
Right.
To which Fred says, hey, where's Archie? Veronica, where's Archie? And she's like, oh, hey, Mr. Andrews, I was just leaving. Like, were you going to sneak out the window? So, number one, why is Fred not concerned about girls just randomly in his house?
Right.
And he's why like, does he never know
hey Archie, high five, bro.
He's like, all right. She's just chilling. All right. He's out there doing whatever he's got to do, and his girlfriend's in here, you know? Like, good for him, yes, I guess.
This is Luke Perry we're talking about. He was probably setting up for next episode.
He also never knows where Archie is.
Like, I know. He's
Archie
like,
is
hey,
consistently sneaking out.
Arch?
He's the only ginger ninja ever.
Right. And Archie's like a little Superman there. So then we get where Archie is actually downtown with Moose and Kevin telling them about Reggie. So Archie's like, I was with Reggie. I tackled him to the ground. He didn't fire that bullet into Fangs like everybody thought.
Yeah.
And now the serpents are after Reggie. We got to find him. So then we cut over to Andre. He picks up Veronica.
Yeah.
And the lodges hope to actually take advantage of the riots.
I'm going to go back to Andre picking up Veronica.
Yeah.
The mindset of this. Like, hey, we want to protect you from this potential dangerous killer that's out there. Get in the back of the car with this guy that we hire to kill people in the woods.
Right. Yeah. Get in this limo, this expensive limo, during the riots, and you should be okay.
With a paid murderer.
Right. With a paid murderer.
He's on their payroll, though, so I mean.
Yeah. Right. That's true. So then we see Sheriff Mineta shows up at the hospital.
Back it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hiram talking.
Right. Oh, yeah, with Hermione.
Yes, he actually says, chaos is good for us. And my notes here, is he the Joker?
Yeah, he's like...
Also, Hermione, that wine bottle is nearly empty, and there is only one glass. How much does Hermione drink?
she loves the wine.
Yeah.
Loves wine.
She is a wino. That, so I'm told. I don't know.
Oh, and I got some stuff, too, here.
Oh, okay.
I guess Kev got a new hairstyle and a new haircut. I'm digging it.
Yeah,
the haircut that he has.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. Well, see, that's why we haven't seen him in a little bit.
Yeah,
because he was actually out there getting a haircut before the riots.
He was reinventing himself.
He was like, you know what? I'm gonna make sure I look good for tonight.
And then I got, why does Sheriff Mineta hate Jughead so much?
Oh yeah, so Sheriff Mineta shows up at the hospital, hoping to talk to Fangs, who was shot, and is met with a hard no from Jughead.
Yeah,
and so he's like, why not? And then I'm like, shouldn't you, like, be interviewing everyone that was around him? Not just,
yeah,
like, Fangs.
Just
he's like, yeah. Anyways, so then we get where Reggie calls Hiram looking for help.
Yeah. And Hiram doesn't care.
And he's like, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
Click.
My notes for those two scenes.
Classic Hiram.
Is,
I love it.
Sheriff Shady is being a jerk.
Yes.
That's for you, Rory. Sheriff Shady.
I thought that was his real name.
Sheriff Shady.
I thought for a second too.
FP tries to like, stand
who's
up.
Minetta? Who's Sheriff Minetta?
FP tries to stand up to him. Sheriff's even more of a jerk.
Right.
Next scene, Hiram throws Reggie under the bus.
Yes! Yeah. Reggie's like, I'm scared and I need your help. I didn't fire the gun and now the serpents are after me. And Hiram's like, yeah, I'm busy. I gotta go.
Let me put on this guy liner.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Hiram just says, that sounds like a you problem.
Right? Yeah.
No, you want to know how I got this guy liner?
Yeah, I'm like,
I think I killed EJ.
Oh my god. You know, want to know how I got this guy liner? I love that.
Yeah, Hiram seems to only care about Veronica's safety and nobody else.
Yeah, obviously. Oh my gosh. No, so during the riots, Veronica noticed that Mrs. Klump is like just walking and she.
All right, I have a serious question.
Yes.
Has this character ever been on the show at all, ever?
I think in the last episode you get a glimpse of her.
A glimpse.
Is she named?
Well,
because I'm like, who the hell is that?
Yeah. It's just some person that got off the streets.
Who's this lady with a gun?
Who's the lady hobo? What's going on right now?
She looks frazzled and she has a gun in her hand and you're like, who is that? That's a good question because you only see her once in the like a previous episode and it's literally at City Hall. She's like, I want justice for my daughter. But she only has like a moment. Okay. So if you don't remember that, and you're like, who the hell is this?
I was probably drinking at the time.
Well, she had this little cameo. You don't really see
her. Right. So V picks her up, and that's when she goes, like, confronts her. And that's when Mrs. Klump is like, I shot that kid. I shot him. And then she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. And so then we get where Archie calls Jughead. Now, this skips around so much that that's why this sounds like
it's getting insane. Really frantic at this point.
Right.
One of my favorite points is, you skip right past that, like how the driver, what's his name?
Andre.
Andre's like, Miss Veronica.
Miss Veronica. And she jumps out of the car. She's like, I gotta look at this lady. I don't know. Which sounds like a bad idea. I could see him being concerned for her.
Yeah.
But he should have acted more concerned. Not be like, hold on, let me open the door and step out and be like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, Miss Veronica, what are you?
Yeah.
He should have been like pack and drawn.
Right. He's like,
lock and load, you know?
She has a gun in her hand. He's like, Miss Veronica. And this doesn't draw a weapon at all. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so we get where Archie calls Jughead to tell him that it wasn't Reggie that fired the gun and to call off the serpents. So Archie says he's going to the school to find Reggie and Jug, and he says he will meet them there. So then at the register, Hermione Lodge is spinning out some BS, and she actually wants to put out a bounty on the Black Hood.
Is this the only scene where she's on a glass of wine in this episode?
Actually, my notes is, how did she get to the register? I really hope she didn't drive.
Well, okay, so
Andre didn't drive her.
Yeah, she's been drinking a lot, and Andre's driving Veronica around. So I hope she's not drinking and driving.
Well, okay.
She either walked or Hiram gave her.
Maybe she got an Uber. I don't know.
Yeah, my theory is because I actually bring this up a little bit, too. I think she can teleport because she's getting around all these places pretty fast.
That'll work pretty well in season 3, I think.
Right, exactly.
Hashtag spoilers.
But no, she like literally is at the police station and like, I'm like, where's this timeline? She's like at the register, now in the police station, she was back at the manor and I'm like, is she teleporting? Like, it takes forever for Junkhead to get to the school.
Yeah.
And like, she's there, like she's just, oh, I got here, no problem.
The 1%, you know?
Right, the 1%, man. So then we see at the school, Archie, Moose, and Kevin gear up. Then Archie gets a call from Veronica and tells Archie that Mrs. Klump shot Fangs. And so they're at the sheriff's station, and she just turned herself in. Like, so Mrs. Klump turned herself in, and Veronica is telling Archie, hey, this is actually who shot. Like, tell the serpents, this is the person that did it.
One more thing about that last scene when at the register.
Yeah.
when they announce that there's going to be a bounty, Cheryl, she calls Betty again.
Yeah.
And Betty gets, basically Cheryl suggests the Black Hood is headed back to her house, so Betty's going to go hold off the bounty hunters. But when she gets this phone call, her mom and Hermione are right there, and all she does is turn her back. She doesn't lower her voice at all. Yeah. And so John
I think like, my dad might be the Black Hood! Maybe!
So, John was like, wow, I really hope that nobody behind her heard her say that at the same volume she was just talking to them.
Right. And not only
the
that...
The blocking in that scene was bad.
But the volume on the phone, like... You know, like, obviously it's up loud so she can hear it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been in the room with someone who gets a phone call, but you can pretty much hear what they're saying on the phone.
Yeah. So the next scene when Reggie the and Archie down, are at Skid the school. Row.
Yeah.
I had, because Reggie's talking to Archie, and Reggie's still all worked up, and I'm like, oh, if only he had a bench to kick.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, yeah, when that happened.
I know. So, we see V, like, V runs into her mom at the station, and she, pulls the thing out of her hand, and she sees that she's doing, like, a bounty hunt for the Black Hood.
$1 million? Is this my money?
Yeah.
She's you like, thief!
You son of a bitch, this is my money that I stole from a different family. So
my thing was, she says to her mother, are you trying to turn this town into Gotham? Hiram is the Joker!
He is the Joker!
But slightly less makeup.
Why so eyeliner? That's strictly.
Why does Cheryl now have so much sympathy for Betty when she didn't have sympathy for her before?
I think they drew...
Because she's the worst written character ever?
Well, yeah. No, I think a lot of that comes from... Cheryl was repressed, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of that anger that she had about not being able to be herself,
yeah.
I think she lashed out on other people.
Oh, yeah.
And so now that she actually is coming to accept who she is as a person,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That she's attracted to girls and it's okay to be yourself.
Yeah.
I think she's actually becoming like a better person. And I think that's motivation for that character to be
become a superhero.
Right. Yeah.
The wheels of bow and arrow.
Right. And, but no, I think she's being a better person.
Yeah.
And also, I think another, like, they are cousins in a weird way.
Well, she finally realizes that they're cousins. She's like, she calls her cousin before she ever called her that.
And if you really think about it, too, Betty is the only person that she, like, Cheryl's the only person that she told.
Yeah.
Like, so far.
Yeah.
That, oh, I think my dad is the Black Hood.
Yeah.
And Cheryl's the only person that took it serious. Because when she tried to talk to Jughead about it, she said, like, Jughead, like, kind of, he, like, brushes it off as a joke.
Yeah, you know? He doesn't take it serious, yeah.
Another one of my favorite Cheryl lines, this is probably actually a callback to earlier. I believe it's when she's actually talking to Betty on the phone about when she shot the Black Hood. It's like,
right.
Luckily I got my bow, arrow, and my riding cape.
Yeah.
What do the cape do? Did you need the cape? It's going to be a crossover. I'm calling it. CW.
Do it.
It's the aesthetic.
Yeah.
She's all about the aesthetic.
Yeah. At the school, Sweet Pea is going full Joker in 89 Batman, and he is cutting up paintings.
I got something after you're done here.
And so we see where Sweet Pea and Archie tells him, he's like, hey, listen, here's the situation. It was actually Mrs. Klump that shot Sweet Pea, or no, shot Fangs in the street and with a gun. And
Cold blood.
And Sweet Pea's like, no, like, I don't give a shit. It's all you Northsiders.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my face.
That's the part where I think of Reggie with the bench.
All right.
Just because he's so mad.
Yeah.
And it just keeps, like, breaking everything.
Yeah, because he literally picks up a garbage can and throws it into the trophy case.
Oh, and I got something here when you're done.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I got when Principal Weatherby comes in.
Oh, my gosh.
I got, is Principal Weatherby going to try to start a fight with the serpents with a baseball bat?
Yeah. Like, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
What Weatherby actually says is, what the hell do you boys think you're doing in my school? What he should have said.
I've had it with these motherfucking serpents in my motherfucking high school. Bam!
Oh my god. He should have said that. Why didn't he say that?
On a serious note, I love Sweet Pea's acting here. I think I know. That is a really good character moment for him. But like none of them are like on the good side here because Archie and Kevin and Reggie broke into an equipment locker where they get the baseball bat and the golf clubs that they're holding out to
get don't they own baseball bats? These are sporting people.
Yeah.
No, sure. He's a wrestler.
Yeah, right.
I would love it if he came Archie, out the one
Archie does everything. Yeah. He plays football and basketball and wrestles and plays guitar. Why didn't he Ole Kabong them?
That was a good question. That's a solid question. Why didn't he?
I bet you half the kids that have watched the show don't understand what the Ole Kabong reference is. I apologize. It's from early 80s cartoons.
Check out the Boomerang Network. It might be on there.
Right. It could be. Right. So then we get where Betty goes home.
Oh, yeah. I got some for this too.
And she just sees blood at the sink. That's basically all that happens in that
scene.
That's
a normal Thursday.
Right. She's like, oh, yeah. I've seen that. We had to get rid of a carpet because of this. So then we have where Jug meets up with Archie, and Archie is like, where were you, bro? And he's like, I had to Mad Max my way through traffic to get here. And so Archie tells...
We are beyond Thunderdome.
Right. So Weatherby shows up, and he breaks up the fight between Archie, Kevin, and Moose versus the Serpent.
I just love that Weatherby single-handedly broke up a
gang. No, there were two adults behind him.
Yeah.
There might have been more outside the doorway, but there were definitely at least three people.
Yeah, which has me wondering, why were all those teachers there at night? They're going to
their school.
That's true. Yeah. Or there was a PTA meeting and no one came. and he always has a bat just in case. That's out of hand. So Jughead...
H-N-I-C.
Right. So we have where Jughead meets up with them. And that's when he's like, yeah, the Serpents are on their way to Mrs. Klump's house to trash it because it was her that actually shot Fangs. I always want to say Sweet Pea, and I don't know.
Fangs.
Yeah. But anyways, why does Archie care more about Betty than Jughead? Because he's like, hey, how's Betty? And then Jughead's like, I don't know. Like, he doesn't...
Yeah,
he doesn't care about Jughead.
Because they've been playing that note for, like, two seasons, and they're, right? They're building it, and it'll probably never pay off.
Archie and Betty grew up next to each other.
True,
Veronica just moved to town, so...
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of Archie looking at Betty like a little sister.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely cares about her. It's just really weird that, like, he's the one that's like, how's Betty doing, you know? But anyways... Pops calls Archie and he's like, hey, he calls him personally on his cell phone.
This is funny. It's really funny.
And he tells him, he's like, hey, you have a friend here and I think he's really upset and he's looking for you.
Oh, this is the question. Like, I was confused by the fact that, you know, Pops called Archie on his cell phone.
Right.
I'm like, either one, that's really weird. Because I go to restaurants all the time.
Even if I talk
to someone, they don't have my personal phone number. It's
right.
A small town. Or do you think that Reggie gave the phone number to Pops to have him make the call?
That's true too. I was thinking because around Christmas, right? They were selling trees there, so it might have been like one of those things that
they exchanged. Like a business thing that they
yeah.
I think when Fred got shot at Pops, I think Archie gave him his number just in case. If something like that happened again,
we
had to call Archie.
Right.
The red circle, the black circle, the purple circle, whatever they're called this week.
Oh, that makes sense. You know what, Russ? I'm going to go with your theory.
that one probably wins the day.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what if? Since Hiram owns Pops, he gave Pop Archie's number.
Right.
As an enforcer.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That was off the cuff. Didn't really make much sense.
If anyone attacks Pops, he calls Archie.
Hell, you gotta take this one further. One further.
Or Pops called 411 and asked for his number.
What's the 411?
Oh, okay. I'll explain it to you after the show. So then
that one was disappointing. You should feel ashamed.
Shame. No, so FP calls Betty.
Oh, and he's, I got something for this when you're done.
Okay. So FP calls Betty and he's looking for Jughead. And then he tells Betty that her dad is actually at the ER. He's like, your dad's here. It looks like you might have been hurt in the...
shot by an arrow or something.
Yeah. And he's like, you want me to go check on him? And then she's like, no, stay away from him. But not into that extreme. He has a
piercing wound that goes through his entire shoulder. Right.
It looks pretty bad. You want me to go check on him? No!
Do you want me to pull the arrow out?
No! All
right, I got something for this.
All right.
Why is FP's number coming up as unknown on Betty's phone? You think that she would have him in her phone, or it wouldn't come up as unknown?
Well, he was using a payphone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And,
at the hospital.
And...
Yeah. Or maybe.
And why does FP think the doctor is Betty's dad?
Wait, what? What are you talking about? No. Are you confused?
We're going to a dark place now, kids.
All right, so moving on from what Ross just said.
No, I want to break this down, analyze this.
I hate you, Ross.
The guy that FP says is Hal is the doctor that got killed.
Well, no. He saw Hal go into the ER. Listen.
Yeah, but why do they send Betty into that room?
I can't believe I have to explain. No, listen. So he goes in, right? He sees Hal, and he's wounded. Yeah, sorry, he's wounded, and he's like, "Oh, there he is. He's wounded." Yeah. He doesn't confuse him with Dr. Masters.
That's what I thought.
No. Stop it.
I really thought that. I'm like, what?
No.
How many times did you watch this episode?
2 or 3 times.
So,
how can you confuse that 3 times in a row? Oh, that's the best.
On a side note,
yes,
I really do like this moment between FP and Betty because they don't really interact very much.
Yeah. So the next scene we see is where Veronica confronts her mom about doing the bounty and knows her ransom money is probably being used to pay for that ransom.
Yeah.
So then. Or not the ransom, but for the bounty. And then she finds the October surprise. Like, she goes into Hiram's office, mm-hmm. well, study, and she's digging around. And she finds a folder, and it's called the October surprise.
Yeah.
And in that folder, there's some incriminating evidence of her mother's affair with Fred. And she's like, what the hell?
If you break down that scene, you have her arguing with her mother. She storms off. Hermione gives chase, but then gets locked out of the room.
Glass of wine in hand.
She says two things, but then just stops. Like, she's like, no, and then just kind of like, no banging on the door, no other please. So I assume that she just left to go get more wine.
Right, she's like, don't you, you know what? I could go for a glass right now.
Oh, sweet withdrawal.
I'm not drunk enough. Let me get more.
Yeah, I'm gonna need more of this. So then we're at Pop's, and Reggie meets with Archie, Kevin, and Moose.
Yeah.
And as they're talking, they hear a commotion outside, and the Ghoulies are back in town. And so the Bulldogs,
they barricade the door with a jukebox.
Right. And
that's, I like that scene. That's a good scene.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And so the Ghoulies are making a ruckus outside, and that's when Archie's like, hey, Pops, do you have a gun? And Pops is like, no, I don't. Because he had
racist.
But he's like, I had a fill of the war. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I since the war.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but I have a better idea. And then it cuts away.
So,
we don't see it.
From the war. Now, I always get confused, like, when this series is actually taking place.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be modern, but a retro 50s throwback thing.
Right.
Was he in Nam or Desert Storm? I'm not sure.
It could be World War II. Who knows?
It could be.
It could be that far back.
And
War of 1812. Right. Pop was there.
He's like, Pop Tate. Pop Tate saves the day.
When did Kev join the Bulldogs in the Dark Circle?
Oh, I don't think he's like part of it.
It seems like he's because he's with them. I don't
right.
know.
No, I think he's more like supposed to represent the school of Riverdale. Oh, okay. Not so much like the.
Okay.
Yeah. But so we see the ghoulies and they're trashing cars outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
when they barricade the door with the jukebox, and they yell "Get away from the windows," the way that scene is set up, it kind of reminded me of Night of the Living Dead.
Oh my god, I know.
Get away from the windows line.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. I didn't because it felt very familiar, and now that you said that, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Like that was that totally yeah. I so we see where Pops is like. Yeah, you just take, like, the crawl space up to the roof, and then
we got some bottles left from, like, you know, that party that you know, Hiram had.
Right. And you're like,
were they drinking, like, 195?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That shit lit up quick. Woo!
So Pops teaches Archie how to make a
Molotov those, cocktail.
Yes.
And
he, like, launches it at the ghoulies. He's just stay back. Light and then he throws it. And I'm like...
Actually, the head ghoulie was like, hit me. I'm like, hey, another Joker.
Hit me.
Why is Archie destroying and burning bottles of good champagne? Like, they're good freaking bottles. Why are you destroying them?
Champagne don't burn that way.
Well, it's either Pop's Burgers or champagne. And no offense, but I would take a cheeseburger over.
I would, too. But I'm just saying.
Burgers don't light on fire
and explode either.
Yeah.
So,
but, like you're saying, there's no way that was champagne. That was hard liquor and high proof.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. So then they're like, it causes like a more of a ruckus, and we see where Sheriff Keller shows up, and he shoots Archie. I mean, shoots his gun.
That would have made the episode very interesting.
Yeah, if he just fired in the air and he hits Archie off the roof. And you're like,
ah!
And Fred's like, my son! No,
it
but
got dark. It just got really dark really
no,
quick.
No, but...
I love that he just discharges a firearm in public. Like,
right.
I'm not the sheriff anymore, so no paperwork.
Yeah, he's like, boom, up in the air. And then it's not until Fred gets out of the car... And the ghoulies split. They see Fred.
Yeah, yeah.
And they split.
They're like, oh, shit.
Right. They're like, that guy was shot once, and I don't want to mess with him.
Dylan Breezeley's here. Oh, my God.
They're like, look at this guy. And then that's why everyone should vote for Fred Andrews for mayor. He
vote
scares
for
Fred. He's the only man to scare ghoulies.
Hashtag Fredheads.
Hashtag Fredheads.
Fredheads.
So anyways, he shows up, and then also FP is there too. He doesn't really do anything.
Coming up with yeah, the actual gang member.
Right. He just shows up like after they already scared everyone off. He's like, hey guys, I'm here too. And so
so coming up is one of the weirdest lines in the entire episode.
Kevin's like, oh God, thanks. Is it this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Riverdale dads to the rescue.
Yes.
No, hot Riverdale dads.
Yeah.
Hot Riverdale dads to the rescue.
Kevin, that's your dad.
That is your dad.
That's weird. The weird part. That's the weird part.
Yeah. Because, no offense, he is right. They are, like, eye candy for Shaw. But I think, like, it is weird because one of them is his dad. You know what I mean?
That's
weird. It is strange.
They don't do it for me. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
I mean, maybe Mr. Andrews, I mean.
Right. Hashtag Fredheads.
Hashtag Fredheads.
Fredheads to the rescue.
Yeah. And so at the White Worm, we see where Sweet Pea is giving Jug some crap for not wanting to go after the ghoulies.
Yeah.
And Jughead's, I think this is, like, his choice is, like, not to fight. Because I think there's, like, a guilt there for Fangs. You know what I mean? He's a leader, and one of them were just shot under his... watch, like, under his rule, and I think this is kind of like a guilt thing that he doesn't want anyone else hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I love the acting in this scene. I think the tension between Sweet Pea and Jug is always on point. Like, they play off each other really well.
Yes.
The delivery of the line, an hour, that's all I'm asking for.
You're right.
Is the tension between them is so palpable. It just... and the lighting is great. Like, the reaction of everybody behind them in the worm is great.
Yeah.
It's...
I agree. No, it is...
There's only one thing we could have made that shot better.
Fred?
Mortal Kombat 2 in the background.
Oh, I know!
Yeah,
where was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just see, he's like, all right, I'll give you an hour. Can I have two quarters for Mortal Kombat?
That would have made it better. That would have made it better, yeah.
So then we see where V chats to her mom, and she can't believe her mom doesn't see Hiram as, like, this weasel. She's like...
Definitely a glass of wine in this scene, right?
Right.
Definitely.
See, maybe there's
wine
like...
Wine counter. Click. This has to be a new bottle.
So maybe there's a drinking game that you can do if you want to die with Hermione.
You drink every time Hermione does?
Yeah. The same amount, but you have to finish it before her next scene with a glass of wine.
A whole bottle. Good. A whole
so
bottle.
Good luck.
Challenge accepted. We're going to live stream this.
Please don't try this challenge.
Don't
try this at home, please.
Disclaimer.
EJ, do we have video capabilities?
Yes, we can. We'll stream on Twitch. We'll do it. No,
we're going to do YouTube videos eventually.
Hiram calls Pops and is, he's kind of pissed.
Oh, I love this scene. This is so hilarious.
Because Pops is like... Yeah, you know, the ghoulies came, and then luckily the hot dads showed up, and this is Hiram gets pissed. He's like,
motherfucker!
Yeah, he's like so pissed, and he's like, why didn't they call me? I'm a hot dad too. So I think he feels left out.
Hiram talks to Pop, creepy Canadian shows up.
Oh, yeah. He's like, hey, I'm Hiram owns this place, right? I forget what he says. Yeah. It's not really important.
Oh, he's a friend of my dad.
Yeah.
We're talking about like the big guy, right?
Yeah, French fry. No, or small fry.
Small fry. Small fry. Yeah.
Small fry.
I'm sure that was his name.
Small fry.
I only have one of the names to listen to your last podcast. Because right. They don't say in this episode.
Right, yeah, they just mention it briefly.
It's tiny poutine, you know?
Yeah, tiny poutine. Sun poutine.
Junior
fries poutine. And gravy.
Junior poo-poo. And then at the hospital, Betty shows up looking for her dad, and she goes to his room, and she actually finds a dead Dr. Masters.
Yeah.
And the phone rings, and Betty answers, and it's the Black Hood, which his timing is impeccable. I don't know if he kept calling till she finally got there, great timing.
My question is,
I didn't even know that she was there.
I've watched horror movies for decades.
Right.
And if Roy was here, he could tell me what that was modeled after. And I can't remember.
What the...
Where, like, someone goes into the hospital to try to find someone, they find another dead body, the person they're looking for?
I don't know.
It's kind of opposite, but it kind of reminds me of the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
Where they go to find the girl and she's gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that kind of like it's like around the corner. Oh, bed's empty or bed has other dead body in it.
I feel like I've seen it in the remake.
A couple movies.
Yeah, though. Definitely a couple movies.
It's like a horror
trope.
The
remake of Black Christmas has like a similar thing where the killer's in the hospital and then they go in and then he's not there. It's like another, like a nurse's dead body or something.
Oh, I feel ashamed. I've never actually seen that movie.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's weird, but yeah, it's so good though. Mm. It's real campy, but great.
I got something. Why did the nurse tell Betty the wrong room number for her dad?
It's the right room number. Russ, were you drunk watching this episode?
All three times?
What is going on
with you?
Were you
playing the Riverdale drinking game? Were you and Hermione going shot for shot?
I might have been, yeah.
What is happening? What is going on?
# Riverdale drinking game.
Oh. I had to add that. Just to be funny.
Oh, my
God. Was that actually in your notes?
Yeah, it's in his notes.
The previous...
I hate you.
No, you have to commit, bro. You have to commit. Come on. Yeah, props. Nice.
Props.
They have an exchange here. After Hal says we keep missing each other, Betty says, you don't scare me.
No, the His Black reply. Hood. The Black Hood says.
Okay. The hood, yeah.
Yeah. # spoilers.
And he says, your mother's here. But that's like right after Betty said, you don't scare me. So he's like, you don't scare me. Your mother's here. And she's terrified.
Your mother's here. I'm gonna kill her.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that she's there.
I
it's terrifying.
Portland voice for the black guy.
Thank you.
Could you do Cleveland as the Black Hood talking about his toiletries? Just be like,
oh, I got okay. that. I got that. Yeah, at the end of the episode.
Okay. I need to go get my toiletries. And then I got a list to kill people who are a bunch of sinners.
I love it. So, I love it.
All right.
Can you do that for another, like, 10, 15 minutes? That'd be great.
Just do the rest of this episode. At the right worm. So, at the white worm, Jug gets a call from Penny, and she wants him to meet her, or she'll carve up the Tony.
Tony Topaz.
Ross, are you sure you were drinking before this episode? I'm like, what's going on, man? So then,
it's like Tupac, but Topaz.
Right. Tony Topaz. Like, what?
California love.
It's super creepy that Penny calls him Loverboy.
Yeah.
It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
She's really deranged.
I think she's actually a really interesting character, and I could see why they brought her back. Like, I don't, like, I could see she's a great antagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I think it was Rory who said, oh, she's actually one of my favorite actresses that comes in, because she really does a great job at being this antagonist.
She's 115% all the time.
Right.
I never thought of her. Like,
I think, like, as far as, you know, the different antagonists that we've seen on Riverdale so far, like Hiram, Black Hood, she, even though she's not at their level,
I
like that
Hiram
higher.
Hiram was the hero of the entire series.
That's a good way. Hiram, hero. I like it. No, but I think she is a great antagonist, and I would like to see her set up with, like, to be maybe even a lead antagonist at one point. I mean, in this episode, she definitely is.
I'm not sure, like, the actress that plays the character, but
yeah,
it seems like she really enjoys
playing Penny,
Penny and being the villain.
Right.
Like, you can't fake a performance like that.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
She really gets into it, yeah.
Natural heel.
Great heel. Love it. So then we have Alice and Betty.
Oh, this is great.
They're at home, and Hal wants to do a movie night. And I'm pretty sure there's popcorn on the end table. I think I spotted it. And he's setting up...
Was it Jiffy Pop?
Yeah.
I hope it was Jiffy Pop.
And he's, like, setting up...
From Jughead.
Right. He's setting up the 8mm film, and he's like, all right, guys, we're getting ready to watch this. And they're like, and Alice is like, yeah, your father just wants to watch some home movies, you know?
Yeah.
Just got home from the riots.
And then it turns into a scene from Red Dragon.
Right, yeah. It actually does. So
this is Hal's a child. Do you see?
Do you see?
John actually said while we were watching it, he's like, this is Hal growing some balls. Do you see?
Do you see?
I got something to say after you're done with this.
Oh, yeah. So the movie is actually of a young Hal chatting with his mom about Hal's father being the one that actually killed the Conway family.
Yeah.
And that he must do better. You must do better. Yeah. That's what the mom keeps saying to a young Hal.
Yeah.
But what were you going to say?
I think this scene is so hilarious. Like, it's serious, but it's hilarious at the same time.
It is.
Like, I put, Hal wants his special speech recorded. I guess he wants to sell it to the toiletry store.
Oh my god, you and these toiletries, man. So anyways, Alice is, like, slow to the game of what's happening. Like, Betty's are instantly like, oh my god, he's the Black Hood, he's the Black Hood, he's the Black Hood. And she's like, wait a second.
Well, she knew that two episodes ago, didn't she?
Right. But no, she's like such in like a fast pace of like what is actually happening that Alice is like, wait, I thought the Conway family was killed by the Black Hood. And she's like, yes, mom. Like she's so annoyed that like her mom is just getting it, like putting it together. You know what I mean?
She's a great reporter.
Right. Yeah.
She's late, whatever.
Yeah, she's late to the game.
Well, the whole thing about this scene is just like the whole, like, you know, this is where Hal gets his balls. Do you see? The first time where he actually turns around and like, shut up, Alice.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Hell yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
do you see?
Do you see? Yeah, so we see where Hal gives like the 411 on the Cooper family history.
Yeah, yeah.
And that the Conways tried to blackmail Grandpa Cooper. Grandpa Cooper.
Poutine. Grandpa Poutine. They have Canadian roots.
Grandpa Pooper. No, Grandpa Cooper. And so basically, Hal's father, the secret was out of what he did.
Yeah.
And the Conways knew it, so he actually killed them because they were sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And dun dun dun, Hal admits he's the Black Hood. And Alice is really the only one
that's late surprised. To the game. Yeah. Really late to the game.
Alice does not take it serious whatsoever. She's like, you're not the Black Hood.
Yeah. The moment between Hal and Betty. Where yeah. he asks, who am I, Betty? So powerful.
Yeah.
Her eyes are like brimming with tears, and they have this connection between the two of them. It's yeah. just so really powerfully done. I can't even describe it. It's like, because
right.
he says, who am I? What did I do? Like yeah, making her say it.
Right.
And they already share that connection when he said that there's a darkness in her.
She's like, you're a vampire. He's like, no, that's Twilight. Stop it. The Black Hood. No one's taking me serious. No, you're right, though. Like, it really...
Alice doesn't match the intensity of the two of those having this.
Right. Absolutely. And one thing I was going to say, too, like, when he's, like, trying to reveal who he is, and Alice is like, I don't understand. He's like... He does a good job of, like, doing a callback to a couple episodes ago when Betty's like, I have this darkness inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I have a darkness inside of me. My father had a darkness inside of him. And Betty has a darkness inside of her.
We all believe in a thing called love.
Right.
Oh, you know, we're coming.
We all love the darkness. No, so then, yeah, so it was a great moment. And what do you think?
I kind of want to pull it back for a second. Like a discussion of, like, the entire character arc.
Right.
Of Hal.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fitting that Hal is the Black Hood?
It's...
Or do you think it's something, like, they didn't know when they started writing, and then last minute they're like, let's make it Hal!
Yeah.
That's kind of how it comes across to me.
A bit.
It does. It's weird because early on when the Black Hood first makes the call, they don't give him like that voiceover like, I'm the Black Hood. You know, they don't do that. They actually use
that. You know, like, he doesn't really sound like that, right?
Yeah. It's more like, I'm the Black Hood. That's more Saw. I can't. Okay. Anyways, I can't do the Black Hood.
Game.
Yeah.
Why do I want to kill my Joker? That was Batman. Sorry.
I thought you were talking to Hiram for a second.
Right. No, so then we have where,
like, I was actually like, even though they set it up an episode or two earlier, I feel like the payoff could have been better.
Right, yeah. Because early on, right, in like the fourth or whatever the Black Hood, it's like an early episode, he makes a phone call, and it's actually, you could tell it's like Lachlan Monroe's voice. It actually does sound like him, like more so. And then after that, they gave him, like, the voiceover. So I don't know if, like, people are
they're
like,
that sounds like Lachlan
Monroe. Right, yeah, they're like, oh, we better give him a disguise. But, so I don't know if it was planned early, but if it was, maybe it's a good payoff. But if not, I mean, it's weird because, like, the last few episodes, they have it, oh, yeah, it's Hal. It's going to be Hal. But I had that suspicion, though, when we were watching it. I'm like, I think it might be Hal.
Yeah, you were
that's
saying
who I was, like, leaning towards.
That's the first person you
first
said.
And foremost. And then when they did the whole, like,
well,
janitor
the first
route.
Person, it should never be the first person you're supposed to think, though.
Right, yeah.
No, but that's... Yeah.
But
the first person should obviously be a red herring.
Right.
And there should be, like, five or six red herrings.
Yeah. And they just gave, like, the janitor one. You know, they went, like, the Urban Legends route. I don't... You ever see Urban Legends?
Yeah,
You're like, oh, it seems like it's this janitor because he keeps showing up everywhere, like picking people up. And
call back to the last time we were on here.
Right.
That's the episode that we missed the one time where they caught the janitor. And then we watched the next episode, and that was the first episode that we did on this podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wait, I guess it was that guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then they brought him back.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, the hood's back. Cool. Now, who could it possibly be?
Right. Yeah.
Is it Andre? I mean.
Yeah. It is weird that it is Hal, like, revealed as Hal, because, I don't know, I just, I don't know. I guess that's why you wanted to be a reporter, because you just have time to do whatever you want. I have no idea.
Calendars.
Yeah. What'd you think of him as the Black Hood?
I think he's a good Black Hood.
Yeah.
I really think it's I think it's cool that it's him, and I think he's a good character for it.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, menacing and dark and, you know, all that.
There's a part of me that was really bummed, because the previous episode to this one, like, he brought Alice flowers, and I'm like, oh, they're mending their relationship. That's so great. And they had this great scene as a family, and I'm like, oh, they're trying to get this back on track. And then they start dropping hints, and I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no! How? I'm actually a big fan of the actor, and so a part of me is bummed out because he won't be around that much. But a part of me is like, oh, that's pretty cool because it's a big part. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big thing. So,
not like FP never went to jail.
It's like a silver lining, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, because I would like to see more. I'm actually a Hallmark, you know?
Hallmark?
Yeah. Oh. Yep. Greeting cards, writing them. So
what are Archie and Fred up to?
Oh, yeah. So Freddie and Archie come home, and that's when they're attacked by a guy in a hood.
Yeah, I got that.
And Fred takes him out, but the guy actually gets back up and he just shoots Fred in the chest. Luckily, he had a vest on.
Yeah. But it's one of those weird scenes. It's like, oh man, we're really tired. I mean, the city's under riot. I think I should go take a shower.
Right. Yeah. It's been a rough night, you know? And then Fred's
what
like,
better time to be naked and wet during a riot? I'll go upstairs, take all my clothes off, and step into the shower.
And then hurry, get out of the shower, go downstairs.
Yeah.
With the vest on.
The scene lent a nice symmetry to the series, because it started with Fred being shot, and now we kind of end it, even though he's not hurt, we like end it with Fred being, like, it's the second to last episode, so we end it with Fred being shot again.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, no!
The series by shooting Fred, every beginning and ending.
I freaked out, because I love Fred, and so when he was shot again, I was like, no, not this time, not again! Yeah. And like,
it's like in the first season where, like, you know, they started it by killing Jason Blossom, and then at the end of the season, they dug him up and killed him again.
Right.
Oh, wait, like, that didn't happen, did it?
I wish it did, because that sounds awesome. So then we have Betty's speech is actually the thing that inspired Hal to take the Black Hood on and purge the town of sinners.
That sounds like a scapegoat to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And then, so then we have Jug meets up with Penny.
Wait, let's go back to that last scene for a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he's explaining about the town of sinners, he says, I want everyone to understand when they find us, is his reply to why he's recording this.
Right.
That is so ominous and creepy. Like, that is like a literally terrifying moment from that scene.
Right. Yeah, because his plan is definitely
Double murder suicide at that point.
Right. Yeah. To go like DeFeo on them, the family, you know what I mean? Like, Amityville reference.
I was going to make that last taste of reference.
Right. I'm sorry. But no, it's just like he does that kind of, you know, he murders them and then he was going to commit suicide. And it is very, like, creepy. And yeah, it was good note. So then Jug meets Penny and she's not alone. Malachi is there from the Ghoulies. And
he has a name?
Yeah, Malachi.
I didn't even know he had a name.
What? Really?
Good shit on the corn reference, by the way.
Yes. Yep.
I thought he was just some ghoulie, some guy.
No. Yeah. No. His name. They mention it in Death Proof that his name is Malachi.
Oh. Okay.
And then I think
the Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah. Yep. This is. Yeah. They do a deep cut. Deep cut. No. They're like, yeah, we're gonna mention this in this movie, and hopefully,
in about 15, 20 years, there's gonna be a TV series on the CW.
But yeah. So they mention it there, and then I think, I don't know if they mention it in this episode. I just know. Yeah. So I don't know if they do mention it in this, but anyways, yeah.
I've been calling him Gene. Because the makeup, like, reminds me of Gene Simmons from Kids.
The demon, yeah.
The way Gene Simmons' hair looks when it's not slicked back.
Right. He's like, they call me Dr. Love. So stop singing that. We'll get sued. this is Riverdale. Come on. So anyways, yeah. So Penny is not alone, but luckily Jug's not alone either because Shiro shows up with...
From the CW.
Right. And...
Crossover.
And they actually get...
Oliver McQueen's there.
Right. Oliver Queen shows up. The Flash. No, all the legends. Supergirl. No, but yeah, they end up getting Tony free... And then Penny puts out a deal to Jughead, and we don't know what that deal really is. It's kind of, oh no, we do. It's actually like, it's like, oh, if you don't
leave Southside tonight,
right,
there's gonna be a fight at dawn.
Right, and he's like, oh, all right, you know, like that sucks. And then
he's like, hold on, let me make a phone call.
Yeah, and then at the Pembroke, we see
911. That should have been the phone call.
Right.
Yeah, he calls like, Hiram. Why the fuck would he call Hiram?
Like, yeah. So at the Pembroke, we see Small Fry shows up.
Small Fry,
and he attacks like Hermione and and Veronica. He actually kills...
Wait. Yeah. Can we have a moment of silence?
For Andre.
For our boy, Andre.
We just kind of have to infer, because nothing happens on screen.
So right.
We don't know that
he's... Hiram finds his body.
No, Hiram sees him dead on the ground. Yeah, his
head's on the ground, and blood's come out the side of his head.
Right. That's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was a decent amount of blood.
Well, they verify it, though. Because he said, oh, I got rid of the two bodies. They're going to... just wrap it up with the riots.
We'll get there.
Maybe they're just going to a farm upstate.
All right.
Maybe.
With my dog, Sprinkles.
I had a dog once. He went to a farm
upstate New York.
So he attacks them, and then that's when she actually shoots and kills Small Fry. Like, she shoots him, like, five times. Hermione Lodge.
Yeah.
So then we get...
Which is amazing, by the way.
My notes for this, V and Hermione are fighting when Small Fry comes in, and Hermione is so upset that she had put down her wine. Like, it's on the table. So then he comes in and he tries to kill them. Hermione shoots him, was it five or six times?
I think it's like five times, right?
She shoots him five times. She'd be a better shot if she was sober.
Oh, yeah. Boom! Headshot.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, they're all in the chest. If she was sober, they'd be all in the head.
It's like, can you do that, Dad? RoboCop reference. So Jug pitches Penny's deal, and the Serpents argue, and that's when FP shows up, and he tells them that Fangs actually died. He got a call from the sheriff confirming Fangs died at the hospital.
Yeah.
So they vote to fight in the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And everybody, it's like everyone votes except Jughead. And I actually like their voting system where they put up like the fangs like for fingers.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. Except Cheryl, she just uses
now, hands. Is that just like a serpent's thing or is that actually for fangs?
See, that's why I didn't think about that until you said it.
It's like the fang thing.
Right. So is it that for fangs or is that like always like the your voting thing? Yeah. So, because that's the first time we see it.
Exactly.
You know? So, I don't know. I hope it's for every, for every vote, not just fangs, because I think that's cool.
Like, what if Jughead was the one that got killed? Would it be like...
That's actually how they're going to vote.
I don't know how to describe this on a podcast. We're making weird hand gestures right now, and
I think it goes like this.
It'd be a bunch of cheeseburgers.
Yeah, like a crown.
Put together.
The serpent vote is also how they voted for student council president.
Yeah, they're like, I vote for Archie. it doesn't count. You don't do it like that. This is how I always vote.
But I love the line FP has where he says, we will mourn him, but first we will honor him.
Yeah. Yeah, FP is like an all-star when it comes to acting in this episode. He is so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Just throughout the entire thing, like even like small scenes he has. But this one in particular, he really shines. Mm-hmm. So then we see Alice isn't really the least bit fazed by Hal.
Yeah, she goes right up to him and she's like...
Immediately starts emasculating him.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, he's like, you're not a good serial killer.
Right.
Like, he's not going to do anything.
Screw you and your small dick, bitch-ass-looking motherfucker. Yeah!
It seems, like, so out of character until you notice the side glance she gives to Betty. Like, get right. the poker.
Yeah.
No, she always wore the pants.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's my one problem with she's Hal cranking being, it up to being, 11. The Black Hood. It's like, right. he should be more assertive in general life.
Right.
And the fact that, you know... His wife steps up to him, and he's kind of confused by it, and taken aback, and distracted.
Right. That's, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it sucks, because even if, like, what we're saying, right, like, Hal is just like, oh, I'll just take credit for it, right? The video evidence kind of, like, confirms that it's him.
Well, no, I'm not saying I ever...
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like...
the fact that he is the Black Hood and was the Black Hood, but right. just, like...
But it would be cool, though.
They could have set it up a little bit better.
Yeah, it would be cool if it was that thing. Like, he's like, oh, I'm gonna take credit. And, like, maybe my family will finally respect me. And then... Well,
like... And yeah. I don't know if they could do this on that type of, like, this network and stuff like that. But, like, if she actually stepped up to him and he actually just literally just backhanded her.
Oh, I know.
Then he would have, like...
So many angry
confirmed
letters.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, but, well, that too. But
came across as, like, you know, dominant and threatening.
Right.
It's the fact that she's like, well, you're just a mama's boy. And he's like, what?
What are you talking about?
I don't know what's going on right now.
He does start to choke her.
Huh? Oh, well, yeah, he does start to choke her. But no, like, if he did, like, something, like, I totally see what you're saying. Mm. It's like putting him over as a heel.
Exactly. Put him over. You gotta put him over. Right. He didn't build up enough. He needs to get some heat.
Yes.
And not cheap heat.
Yeah, not cheapy.
Not
yeah.
cheapy.
He's getting X-Pac heat.
Right. Exactly.
But
we just lost a bunch of people.
When Alice reveals that she slept with MP.
Right.
And the exact phrasing she uses is, who in every way you are not is a real man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I ship phallus so hard. So this made me so happy. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because she's like... Yeah, brings up the whole FP relationship, which we know that FP...
By the way, the first time I ever heard my wife say, I ship phallus. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, I get it now. Okay. I understand.
Oh.
Side note,
That's an F, Alice.
Right.
No
there
PH.
There was a poll on Twitter, like, which Riverdale couple is your favorite? And it was like, Betty and Jughead... Archie and Veronica, Alice and FP, and I'm like, I'm gonna pick that because I'm 36 and picking any of the others feels creepy. They're all 16.
Right. No, I kind of liked Fred and Hermione a lot when they were together.
For money.
Well, it's just Fredhead. It's just like everything's Fredheads with him. He's so bad at naming everything.
Fredhead Hermione.
Oh, that's
no,
good.
You don't want to use Fredhead for that because Bughead is the ship for.
Oh, that's true.
So that's a different ship altogether.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
I'm sure that's there's right. fanfic out there.
Right. Oh yeah.
There's a fanfic for everything.
To be honest, though. Like, I like the fatherly connection that Fred does have with Jughead. In
he
all
has
seriousness,
that with everyone under the
he
age
does
18.
Though. He is like the ultimate dad. He's like
aside
best.
From Veronica, it's like yeah, you can have sex with my son. And just yeah, sneak out the back window. It's whatever.
You do you, boo boo.
So then we have where Jug and FP argue, and Jug doesn't think it's a good idea to fight.
This is hilarious, this scene.
Right. What?
It's serious, he's really mad, but it's still really hilarious. Like, the way he throws shit.
Like, oh, yeah.
And, like, just, like, what Jughead does, like, after he throws stuff and everything. And,
yeah.
Like, I love when FP, like, does, he does, like, he's like, oh. It's so funny.
That's something I like. You just mentioned it. It's weird. It's like there are some scenes, especially the Fred and Jughead, or the FP and Jughead scenes. It's like where he's trying to be mad, but like You can tell they have such a good chemistry. Like, they're almost trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
Especially FP. Like, he has, like, a weird... Like, his eyes don't really tell the scene.
Yeah.
His voice and his mannerisms do, but his eyes and, like, kind of the corner of his mouth, they kind of be like...
Yeah. Yeah, like,
we're having a good time.
It's a serious scene. It's a serious scene, but I could see, like, the funniness of it.
Right.
Like, it's real funny.
They probably do a bunch of takes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you on that. Like, I love the acting in there, and the scream was like, it felt
guttural,
as if
right?
FP was backed against a wall,
yeah,
and frustrated, and all of that frustration built up into the scream,
right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I could see it that way too.
I mean, anyone who deals with anger issues would be like, I relate to that.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I thought it was a really well acted scene.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, I'm just talking about, like, the general, like, back and forth between the two characters in general.
Yeah, yeah, you could see, like, that they have such good chemistry that I'm sure they're like, oh my god, great.
Like I said,
don't make me laugh in this scene.
Every
right
scene
then.
Is probably multiple takes. I'd love to see their outtakes particularly, you know?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Also, I love the cork board that he has with all the articles and the lines, the bits of string connecting them.
Yeah,
I think that's everyone's goal in their adult life.
Is to...
Someone wants that corkboard with red string.
Right? Just putting some weird conspiracy theory together.
I think that's why people do dream boards. Because they're like, oh, one day I'll just get some red string.
Yeah,
this will all be possible.
I'm going to just connect this somehow. So talking about connecting. Jug. It's a dream board. So then Jug looks at his Hiram wall collage and puts it together that, oh, wait a second, Hiram wants the serpents gone for good and knows they will lose against the ghoulies. Like, so this is all Hiram really behind all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's behind everything, yeah.
So he gives Hiram a call, and Hiram's on his way to meet Penny to drop off money. We don't know that till the very end of the scene, but Hiram's like, hey, what's up? And then he's like, hey, it's Jughead. I know that it's you.
Does he say it's Jughead, or does he just start talking to him?
I think he puts it together. I don't even know. But
because Hiram and Jughead talk all the time. And,
they're best friends.
They've met twice in real life, and he immediately recognizes his voice over the phone.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, I know it's you.
He's on speed dial.
Yeah.
It's Jughead.
Jughead
answer
Jones.
This phone. Jughead Jones.
Hey, it's me, Jughead. Who's this? It's Jughead. Jughead who? Jones. I'm a serpent.
I feel like this scene's like real weird. Like it just,
no, I actually like it.
I like the
staging of it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know Hiram's on his way to meet up with Penny.
Yeah.
We just see him walking. And so Jughead's, like, giving you the information of everything he believes.
Yeah.
And then when the camera pans and you do see Penny waiting there for her money from Hiram, you're like, oh, it's great. Because then that's when Jughead offers that counter, like, does a counter offer.
Yeah.
And which we don't know what it is. But it's basically
but
Jughead giving himself up. Yeah. So then we have where Hiram comes home.
Actually, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Andre? Oh, and Andre was gone.
And Andre. Yeah, so Hiram comes home and finds Andre on the floor, and then he runs upstairs, and then he breaks down. He sees the door was broken down, and he finds V and her mom, that they're okay.
Glass of wine in hand.
Right, but they are
She's on bottle three tonight, right? At least bottle three?
Right.
Okay.
And he comes home, he's like, what happened? Are you guys okay? And they're very cold to him.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's a dead body in the study.
Yeah, that's the first thing they say.
Yeah. And he's like, what? And he's just like, what the hell happened? They don't explain anything to him.
No.
So then the next scene, we see Hal is getting arrested. And Betty tells Archie that it was actually her father who was the Black Hood. And then she gets a call from Jughead, who kind of gives, like, a last goodbye. He, like, confesses. He's like, I loved you, always will love you. But side note, really quick. Did you guys notice that it was actually Sheriff Keller, who's not really a sheriff anymore, who was arresting.
Oh no, I missed
Hal.
That.
I missed that. No, didn't you notice that? Oh, yeah.
I noticed. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. I thought he was done. Like, he's not sheriff anymore. I noticed. But he's the one. So I don't know, like, if that was like kind of like a
bad continuity error.
Yeah, a continuity error, or if that was like. Fred just called him first.
I think they just called Keller first because he lives right there.
So that's true, because they do walk to school together. So yeah, he's right down the road.
Okay. Yeah, he's right down the road. He's close. So they're like, oh well,
Where'd he get the cop car? Oh no, he was driving the cop car to the right.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, he still has it.
So he probably still has all his stuff.
I'm just imagining he dropped off Fred and Archie, and then was like halfway home. And then they called him again. They're like, oh, some dude tried to shoot us in the house.
Right.
Drives back.
And then Alice is like, hey, we have, like...
I'm not getting paid for Hal. This, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I'm not the sheriff anymore, guys.
Check out my GoFundMe page.
Yeah, stop. Kickstarter. Calling Kickstarter me. Campaign.
Stop calling me. I'm
not... For $200, I'll handcuff you.
And then you just see ads. Yeah, I love it.
He's now in the fantasy fulfillment business.
Right. Yeah, like with Chick. With right. Chick. Yeah.
Yes.
There was a hole needed to be filled.
So then we have Jug meets up with Penny, and he actually sacrifices himself. This is when we find out. He actually makes a deal with Hiram that he will give himself up and won't be a thorn in his side anymore. And... so the deal is he gives himself up to Penny and the ghoulies, and they basically beat the snot out of him. Like, they start just hammering into him.
I love how the fight starts, though, where
when he says
they start walking up to him, he's like, 30-1, you that afraid of me?
Yeah. He's like, no, but your girlfriend should be afraid. And then, like,
and then he just decks him and starts the fight. Honestly, I don't know why he didn't call Mr. Weatherby.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
it's called Weatherby. With these motherfucking ghoulies.
But yeah, and that's when, so he's getting beat up, and Penny's like, yeah, your sacrifice means nothing. We're still going as planned tomorrow to fight at dawn.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. Like, that sucks for Jughead.
And then she pulls a switchblade.
Yeah.
So they're just beating him up.
And she's like, I want my pound of flesh. Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit.
So they're just beating him up, and she's like, I'm going to straight up murder a high schooler.
Yeah. Don't finish him off, guys.
She wants to cut off his tattoo.
Yeah. I feel that the switchblade is just so. I don't know if it's confirmed later on, but I always took that as she's going to cut his tattoo off.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like the payback for her tattoo.
Not straight up murder.
So then we get where Betty calls FP about her concern for Jughead.
Yeah.
And FP rushes to where Penny's hideout is. Because Tony's there and he's like, where's Penny's hideout?
That scene was really weird for me because I don't know the exact dialogue. But it's like, you know, I just talked to Jug and it's like he said goodbye, but for the last time.
Yeah.
He's like, click.
Yeah,
just immediately hangs up on her.
Yeah, he doesn't even say bye.
He just knows that he's with Penny. He just knows.
She's like, hello, hello. But,
it's like, yo, two pass. Where Penny at?
Yeah.
I like the symmetry of the scene in the episode because it mirrors the scene earlier where he called her. By the way, your dad's at the hospital.
Right.
But the thing is, both phone calls centered around Jug. You know, where he is, if he's okay. So I like that they can rely on each other to look out for him.
Right. Yeah.
But he hangs up really weird.
I know.
It bothered me.
And I like that they show, like, the overhead of him on the bridge.
Up, Tony, where's Penny hiding out?
Driving.
At the same time, I forget. Technically, in canon, Betty is still a serpent, right?
She's not really, like, She never danced. She did the dance, but
doesn't make you a serpent? Isn't that one of the ways you can be a serpent?
Well, right.
Jug never actually, like, initiated her to be a serpent.
Like, Cheryl gets anointed on the next episode, but...
Spoiler!
Spoiler! So, I don't know.
I don't really know if she really is or not. I don't know. It seems like she is, but then it seems like she's not. So I don't know.
So Hiram tells his family.
Alice might even be a serpent at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
She used to be.
Yeah.
She was. Used to be.
Hey, serpents never shed their skins.
That's true. That's true. The first time we hear that is FP saying it to her specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what else I do.
Yeah. So then Hiram tells his family that the two dead bodies will be linked to the riots, so no one has to worry. And that's when V spills the beans about her knowing about the October surprise.
Yeah.
And that he actually lost sight because he's like, oh, no, we need to know things before we lose sight of it. And she's like, I guess you don't realize what you lost sight of.
You've lost sight.
Yeah.
And Daddy. Hermione is so drunk, she has no lines.
Right?
She's and her eyes are barely open this entire scene.
Yeah.
I think Hiram, she's saying that Hiram's blind pretty much.
Well, I think he lost, no, that he lost.
No, yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm just thinking that Hermione's
blind at this point.
Yeah.
But no, he lost sight of his family.
He's like blind.
And he can't see anymore. So then.
Too much eyeliner.
Betty and Arch arrive at Penny's hideout, and that's when we see FP carrying out Jughead's lifeless body.
Yeah.
Lifeless and broken.
Yeah.
And FP's tears really get me. Like, every time I watch this scene, it's really weird because I'm like, oh, okay, like, I've seen this before. And then as soon as he walks out and you see, like, the tears in his eyes and you see Betty, she's starting to react to Jughead, like, seeing him.
Yeah,
I tear up. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's really powerful scene.
Yeah, here's my notes for that scene.
Yeah, well effing done. So true.
I believe the way the scene's shot, where he comes out and obviously his one arm is hanging down. I don't know if that's the arm he's supposed to have the tattoo on.
Right.
But, like, it's all blood.
Yeah, that's his arm. Yeah, that's the same arm. Yeah.
So that's why I thought it's like, you know, she cut the tattoo off as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know mechanically how one does that or like, you know, how deeply you have to cut to get rid of a tattoo, but.
Yeah.
Something, it's like. What Penny had done a couple of months ago, it's like she'd still not be good. I mean, she always wears like a leather jacket above it or over it, but
yeah. But yeah, now it was confirmed, like, you know, before I get into the pop culture references, but it is a pop culture reference, that Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, the creator of the show, actually said, like, he verified this, that FP carrying Jughead was actually inspired by Batman, like Death in the Family, the death of Jason Todd. Yeah. And so, like, that is this iconic image for anyone who hasn't read Batman. But everyone knows that particular drawing. You
Isn't
know?
That drawing itself based on Michelangelo's Pieta?
Right. Yep. Yeah, so it's just, like, such an iconic thing. But, yeah, that's what Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, he tweeted out the picture and the side-by-side. And he's like, this is what we were, like,
inspired
going for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was our first Easter egg. But we'll get into the Easter eggs and pop culture references. Actually, Sheriff Mineta, as mentioned last time, is a vigilante superhero in the Red Circle comics. Just in case no one knew that. Dr. Masters is from the Young Dr. Masters, a series line from Archie Comics. We get the mention of Gotham City by Veronica. We also get the Mad Max reference and Smurfette, which is a character from Smurfs. And now let's go to plugs. Elle, what do you got to plug?
There is a show going on at Keystone College called Poe Asylum. It's a bunch of stories by Edgar Allan Poe. It's written and directed by Rachel Strayer.
Right.
And so that's opening on Halloween through November 4th.
Yeah. Are you in it?
I am part of the interactive cast, so I have people
that's
around.
Awesome. That's awesome. Heck yeah. And then, John, what would you like to plug, my man?
I don't really got too much going on. My evil alter ego, John Ramsey, is in a band called Tourniquet, a Marilyn Manson tribute. We're playing at the Backyard Ale House this Saturday. It's going to be our Halloween show. Bring costumes, you know.
Yeah.
Good times.
I can't wait. Yeah. I hope it's awesome.
It usually is pretty wild.
Yeah, that's awesome. Check out John's show. It's coming up soon. Do you have any other shows coming up to you?
Oh, we're actually playing in the Binghamton area. 2 weeks after, we're doing a big benefit show. It's like like 20 some bands. It's called Shelter Slam.
Oh, that's awesome.
I guess everything benefits, like, you know, sheltered pets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's, like, a bunch of hard rock metal bands and stuff like that. I know we've played in Binghamton before. We played the Bun Museum.
Yeah.
Which is a really fun place. If you ever get a chance to check that out, do that. But we're getting some... our foothold in the Binghamton area. So, I mean, it's going to be
really cool. That sounds awesome. Yeah. That sounds really, really cool. Are you pumped?
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, you know?
Yeah.
Is this probably the most fun I've ever had in a band? Just get kind of get to just like play a character and just lose your goddamn mind, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. And when is that? In 2 weeks, right?
That'd be November 10th, actually.
Okay.
November 10th, Shelter Slam in Binghamton.
Yeah, I think I'm going to definitely try to go to that. Yeah, because that would be freaking awesome to see. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and River Dudes out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.